even notice. And I made several mistakes there in that song, but hopefully you enjoyed the message.
Amen.
All right, are we on here? I think we're on. Good? Okay.
All right. I was kind of excited when I saw in your bulletin this morning, sermon notes for John Copeland. And then I was disappointed to realize there was nothing there. There was nothing written. So I'm just going to have to come up with something, I guess. But no, I'm kidding. I do have a message prepared, and now I appreciate this church. I do. I appreciate that you're a church that has the same spirit that our church has. We serve the same God. We have the same Bible. It's just a joy to know that our church started this church many years ago. And, you know, I think we might take it for granted that this church has stayed in the truth all this time, because that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen. Many times a church will start another church, and a few years down the road, it's going a different direction. And then sometimes it happens where the sending church goes in a different direction, and the church they started is like, well, why are you going that direction? You told us not to go that direction. Why are you going that direction? But I'm glad we're both going the right direction. So thank the Lord for that. Turn to Luke chapter 8 this morning. Luke chapter 8. This is a passage of scripture that I've heard preached many, many times. I've read it many times. I've taught it in junior church a few times at our church. And I know I've heard your pastor, Pastor Tim, preach a message on this a couple different times. I've heard him preach. So this is it ought to be a familiar passage. But for some reason, last time I was reading through this passage of scripture, it just really caught my attention. It caught my attention, and I want to share with you the thoughts that caught my attention here. And so if you could stand as we read in Luke chapter 8, we're going to read verses 4 through verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 15. But we'll start in verse 4. And the Bible says, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? It's good to know that the people that spent time with Jesus all the time, they still didn't always get with Jesus. That's encouraging to me, because sometimes I read things in the Bible and I'm like, I know there's something good here, but I'm not getting it. But I'm glad I'm not alone in this. And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's ask the Lord to help us today. Lord, I know that nothing significant, nothing effectual will happen here today if you don't work, if you don't work in our hearts. I pray that you would help your word to be effective this morning in our hearts. I pray that your spirit would arrest our attention and draw our attention to the message that you preached here, and that it would help us, that you would help us to apply it to our lives and do great things in our lives. Lord, we believe that your word is powerful, but Lord, help it to have the effect that it can have in us. And I pray as we begin today, also for Olympia Bible Baptist Church and what's going on there. I pray for our pastor. I know many people at this church have heard about what's going on with him, and we're thankful that he got the surgery he needed, and he's getting better, Lord, but he still has a ways to go. We pray that you would strengthen and encourage him and bless him this morning, and bless the work that's going on at Olympia Bible Baptist Church. Bless us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. God's word is powerful. It is powerful. The word that he spoke in the beginning, let there be light, and there was light, that is powerful. When he spoke the words, Lazarus, come forth, and he came hopping out of the grave, that was powerful. When he stood up in a raging storm and said, peace, be still, and instantly there was calm. It didn't slowly die down, just instantly it was calm, so much so that the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and seas obey him? God's word is powerful. I've seen God's word change people's lives that in ways that I didn't think were possible. People that were just heavy in addictions, he has freed, and they are no longer addicted anymore. I've seen the word of God save people's marriages and families. God's word is powerful. God's word was able to convince you that you're a sinner. How hard was that? To convince you that you are wrong. And it's hard to convince you, isn't it, that you're wrong. You want to believe everyone else is wrong. But God's word was able to convince you you're the one that's wrong. And you were convicted of that. You asked him to be your Savior. God's word shows you the way to have an abundant, blessed life while here on this earth. And it tells us about the life we're going to have in heaven. But God's word is powerful, isn't it? Now, there's some of you in here, maybe all of you in here, even though you believe that God's word is powerful, and you say amen to that, there might be something in you that is saying, yeah, I believe that, but I just can't see it right now. I just can't see it. I believe you, Brother John, when you say God's word is powerful. I know I've heard the stories about what it can do, and I've even seen it do things in my life, but right now I just can't see it. I think that's the reason that Jesus preached this message. He knew that even though God's word is powerful, there were many people here that just couldn't see it, that just wasn't experiencing the power of the word of God in their life, and they didn't understand why. They didn't understand why. I think they're not alone in this. I think there's a lot of people, a lot of believers that know God's word is powerful, but they just don't see it. They just don't see it in their life. And so the Bible says that God's word will bring forth fruit. It has that power to bring forth fruit in your life. And I want to get specific about what that means, because I think a lot of people don't even understand that. They just know God's word is supposed to do something in my life. And I know it does, but what kind of fruit is he talking about? A lot of people believe that fruit is winning other souls to Christ and getting other people saved. A lot of people think that it's just God changing you and doing things in your life. And I think really it's both of those things. But we can see fruitfulness is very important to God. Fruitfulness is important to God. Let me just stress this point first. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, let me just read that to you. And that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, after the spirit. That's not the verse I wanted. That's chapter 8. Let me go back to chapter 7. That's a good verse too, but not the one I wanted for today. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. I'm not reading the right verse. Verse 4, here we go. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to them is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So the reason Christ died for us and joined with us is so that we could bring forth fruit unto God. That was the purpose. Our one main purpose was to bring forth fruit unto God. And then in John chapter 15, in verses 2 and 6, he talks about this. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And then verse 16 of that same chapter, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And so it's clear in Scripture, there's many more passages we go to, but it's clear in Scripture that God expects us to bring forth fruit. And he's telling us in this passage, the Word of God will do that in you. The Word of God will do that. It will bring forth fruit. But I think there's two kinds of fruit that we can talk about, and both of it has the same idea. The whole idea of fruit is that it's producing or reproducing something. And so we can look at this in two ways. We can look at it as Christ reproducing himself in the believer. So in other words, he's making us as believers more like him. Every day he's trying to perfect that in us. He's trying to grow that in us. He's trying to grow his character in us so that we can show it to the rest of the world. He's not here anymore, so he's reproducing himself in us so we can show the world who he is. But also, I think it can mean this, the believer producing other believers. So as I believe, as I become more like Jesus, I can show him to the world and they become believers. I think it means both of those things. I don't think you can separate those two and say, the fruit is only souls won to Christ, or it's only Jesus Christ making you like him. I think it's both. It's got to be both. anyways, that's what fruit we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus making me more like him, and then telling others about him, showing him to others so they can believe on him as well. That's the fruit that we're talking about. Now, the Word of God can do that in us. The Word of God has that power. But Jesus is telling us here, these are three main reasons. These are probably the three most prominent reasons that he's addressing here. If the Word of God is not doing that, this is why. There's reasons why the Word of God is not as effective in your life as it could be. What's the first reason, he says? He says, look in verse 11, we'll start there. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So our first obstacle here is we have an enemy that's doing everything he can to keep the word of God from us. That's been very clear through history. Satan has used some wicked men who he somehow got them to power, and they did their best to destroy any copy of the word of God that they could. I'm thinking of stories from communist Russia. When communism took over in Russia and in China, they were actively going through and finding Bibles and destroying them. As many as they could find, they would destroy. Now, I'm thankful that God didn't allow that to happen. God promised that he would preserve his word, and he did. But I'm thankful that that happened. But it's clear to see Satan had an agenda. He wanted to destroy every copy of the word of God that he could. Even if he knew he wouldn't win, he's like, I'm going to keep it from as many people as possible. He tried to destroy it. He also used the Catholic Church to deny people access to the word of God. Back when the word of God was only written in Latin, and maybe there were some Hebrew and Greek translations, but you had to go to special schools back then to be able to learn those languages, to even read the word of God, and the Catholic Church wanted to keep it that way. There was men that had a burden that everybody had ought to have the word of God in their language, and they attempted to translate it, and the Catholic Church fought tooth and nail to keep that from happening. They had control over the people as long as they could tell them what the word of God says, just trust us. But if the Bible were to be written in the common language and people could actually see what it says, they would say, wait a minute, what you're saying doesn't line up with the Bible here. And so the Catholic Church fought. Now, I say the Catholic Church, again, it's Satan, the devil, our enemy, was using the Catholic Church to keep the word of God from people and to deny them access. And you might think, well, I'm sure glad that didn't happen here in America. Are you sure it's not happening in America? Because God has convinced Americans to take God, I'm sorry, not God. Satan has convinced Americans to take God's word out of schools, out of public schools. You're not allowed to talk about God and his word in public school anymore. You're not allowed to pray openly to him. And he's taken it or attempted to take it out of our government institutions. A lot of places that had the Ten Commandments displayed, they were told you got to take it down. You can't have that in these places of government anymore. And Satan is doing what he can. I'm thankful that the Word of God is still widely available here, and you can get a copy of it easily. But I wouldn't take it for granted that that's going to last. We have to make sure that's going to last in our country. But we have an enemy. The point is, we have an enemy that's doing everything he can to get the Word of God out of people's hands. you may have noticed any time you try to witness to somebody or give them the gospel, a lot of times they might be listening, especially I've noticed in times where people are listening and all of a sudden something distracts them. Like it might be the kids, it might be something that happened, or they get a text, you know, an emergency happened, and they got to go. That's Satan. He's trying to keep the word of God out of people's hands. He'll do anything he can to get it out of our hands. Now, I suspect that may not be the reason this morning. If you haven't experienced the power of the word of God in your life lately, it's probably not for that reason, because you're in church this morning. You're in church where the Bible is going to be taught and it's going to be preached, and people are going to be talking about the Lord and what he's doing in their life. So I'm glad that you haven't allowed Satan, at least this morning, to take the word of God away from you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. But we have an enemy. We're going to apply this in a couple different ways after we talk about what this is telling us. But as far as a personal experience, a personal growing in God from God's word, that's probably not the reason that you're not experiencing the power of God's word. Let's move on to the next one. He says, in the next part, verse 13, they on the rock are they, which when they hear, receive the word with joy. So these are people that when they get saved, immediately they're like, man, yeah, this is what I've been looking for. I know, I need to get back in church. I need to get back to God. I know this is going to be the answer to my problems, and this is going to help me out. And maybe you've known people like that before, and then a few weeks later, you don't see them anymore. You don't see them in church anymore. What happened? They seem so excited, but Jesus goes on to say, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away. So these are people that are not rooted. The roots of a plant, they anchor it into the ground. They allow that plant to get water and nourishment that it needs. So what are we talking about here? Well, we can say several different things about this. These are people that are not rooted in a relationship with Christ. They may have believed on him. They may have asked him for salvation, and he did save them. But they didn't do anything to start cultivating that relationship with Jesus Christ. They are not rooted in fellowship with other believers. Three things that God has given us to help us in this Christian life are his word, his spirit, and his church. Those are three things that God has given us to keep us on track, to keep us strong. If we don't have all three of those things, we're missing something, and we can easily get off track. So if we're not rooted in fellowship with other believers, God has created us with a need for other believers. We can see this when he's talking about spiritual gifts. Paul talks about spiritual gifts in a couple different passages of Scripture. And he's talking about how not everybody has the same gifts. We all have different gifts. Why? Because God intended us to come together regularly and use those spiritual gifts to help each other and grow each other. So if you're not meeting with the people of God regularly, again, I'm thankful for the ones that are here today. I don't know your condition. I don't know if this is the first time in a long time you've been to church. I have no idea. I don't know all of you very well. But I know that if you don't go to church regularly to fellowship with other believers, to have them help you with their spiritual gifts, and by the way, you don't need to just be there to get their spiritual gifts to help you. You need to use your spiritual gifts to help them as well. But if that's not happening, it's no wonder that the Word of God is not having an effect like it should. You need to be rooted in fellowship with other believers. So these are people that they might be excited, they might come to church several times, but they never really get rooted in. They don't consider it that important to be at church all the time. And they can either easily get off track. And speaking of the church, you also need to be rooted in the service of God. These are people that never really, like we talked about spiritual gifts, they never started using their spiritual gifts to help the people of God, to serve the Lord in his church. I heard a preacher say this one time, the church ought to be an army, not an audience. The church ought to be an army, not an audience. Sometimes we just expect the pastor to do everything, or the pastor and the assistant pastor, they got it. They can do the service of the church. I'll just come show up on Sunday morning and listen to a message and sing some songs with everybody, and then I'll go on my merry way. No, God wants the whole church to be involved in the ministries of the church. And I've been even getting more burdened about this lately. I've been burdened for our bus route at Olympia Bible Baptist Church. So many times I've seen it where we put some good effort into it and we get some kids coming, get a good group coming, and they'll start coming on the bus regularly. And slowly, for whatever reason, it just starts to dwindle away. Maybe some of the kids move away to a different area, and we can't bring them to church anymore. Or maybe we just lose track of them. Maybe they just lose interest and stop coming. But it happens so often where we get some traction, we get some groundwork going, and then we just lose it. And the lady that does the bus normally, she was really discouraged last Sunday because no kids came on the bus. We have two that come pretty regularly, but even that, they didn't come that morning. Now, there was probably other reasons for that, but she just got discouraged and she felt like, I'm failing here. But it's my conviction that the bus ministry and other ministries of the church shouldn't just be the responsibility of one person. And we just give it to them and say, we'll pray for you, God bless you as you go, but you build it, you take care of it. I think the whole church needs to be involved in this ministry. And so yesterday, we had got a group of us to go out and just door knock one area that the bus goes to. And we're going to start doing this once a month, just go door knocking for the bus so that we can help it out together. This bus ministry isn't just the ministry of Miss Cat, this one lady. It's the ministry of Olympia Bible Baptist Church. And so the whole church, we need to be supporting this ministry. We need to be going door knocking for the bus. We need to be praying for the bus and providing things where we can. And so it's my heart to encourage the whole church to get involved with this. But that doesn't just apply to the bus ministry. It should apply to other ministries as well. Every ministry of the church should be a ministry of the church, not just one person that we hand it over to. That's my conviction anyway. And it's the thought the church ought to be an army, not an audience. And so if you're not involved in the ministry of the church and serving in some way, it's no wonder that you might get off track. If you're not rooted in a relationship with Christ, if you're not rooted in the fellowship with other believers, if you're not rooted in God's word, we're talking about God's word. Of course, it's not going to have an effect if you're not rooted in his word and reading it regularly, studying it regularly. I had this thought about this morning as well. Or yesterday as I was studying this, I thought, some people would say this, Brother John, I've tried that. I tried reading the Word of God regularly. I made a commitment that I was going to read the Bible 5 minutes every day. And I did that for a whole week, and I didn't see anything come of it. So I just gave up. Try this. We all know that we need food, right? Try eating 5 minutes a day every day and see how healthy you are after a week. You might not be as healthy as you should be, right? Brother John, I tried it. I tried eating for 5 minutes a day every day, and I still don't feel healthy. Or you might say, I tried eating for 5 minutes every week, and I don't feel healthy for some reason. Well, no wonder you don't feel healthy. The Bible says, God said this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And so if you're only reading it for a few minutes a day or a few minutes a week, and not really even applying it to your life, what do you expect it to do? And this too, we got to apply God's word to our life. I don't want to labor too much on this because that's not really what the message is about. But if you don't apply what you've been reading in Scripture, it's like, Brother John, I put food on my plate. I even rubbed some on my face and I don't feel any better. It's not going to help you unless you take it in and you apply it to your life. It's great if you read Scripture, but you got to do what the Scripture says. But if you're not doing it regularly, if you're not in it regularly, if you're not regularly working on your relationship with Christ, if you're not regularly getting in with other believers and getting into serving in the church, you're not rooted. You're not rooted. We could say it this way, you got to be all in. You got to be all in. You can't be just dipping your toe in the water. I think a lot of these people that seem so excited about getting saved and yes, this is the answer to my life. This is going to change. I'm going to start doing this. They don't ever fully commit. They don't ever just get all in. They have more of this attitude. I'm going to try this out for a while and see how it works. I'll give it a shot. Other people say that church is the way to go and God's the way to go, so I'll try it for a while and see how it works. That's not going to help you. If it's going to work for you, you got to be all in. You got to be all in all the way if it's going to work for you. So that's the problem with some people. That's the obstacle that they have, is they just don't have enough roots in the ground. And then the third thing, Jesus is showing us here that that is an obstacle to the Word of God being effective in your life, and this is the one that probably affects the most believers, is this. Verse 14, "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection." So Jesus says, the thorns here that choke that plant and won't allow it to grow as much as it could, this is what it represents. The cares of this life, the riches of this life, and the pleasures of this life. There's a lot of things that this world will tell you you need to care about. You need to care about this. You need to care about the entertainment of the world. You need to watch this show. You need to pay attention to this. They will. A lot of the news is about celebrities and what they're doing and what they're not doing, and they will tell you, like, you should be caring about this. You need to care about this. Music. They'll tell you what kind of music you ought to care about. What, you haven't heard that song yet? That's like the most popular song ever. What do you mean you've never heard that song? They will try to convince you you need to care about this type of music. You need to care about fashion. You need to be caring about what you wear and what you don't wear and what's popular, what's not popular. You need to care about this stuff. You need to care about sports. You need to care about sports. For goodness sake, the Super Bowl was on last Sunday. You didn't watch the Super Bowl? What's wrong with you? You ought to be caring about the Super Bowl. It's like the biggest thing in America. You don't know what the Super... You never watched that? They will tell you, you ought to care about that. They will tell you, you ought to care about things that you think you probably should be important, that you ought to care about your health. You ought to care about how much exercise you're getting and what you're putting in your body. And I'm not saying you shouldn't care about that. I'm saying that they will say, this is like the most important thing you should care about, your health, and you ought to care about politics. You ought to care about politics and what's going on in Washington right now and what they're voting on. And again, I'm not saying don't pay attention to that. I'm saying they will, like, feature this. I know some Christians that are super involved in politics, but not super involved in their local church. And they will use that to consume their time, and you ought to care about business and being successful, and you ought to care about climate change, and the world is getting run down, and we need to do something about this, and they will tell you all kinds of things that you ought to be caring about. But the problem is, I'm not saying that all these things are bad and you should never pay attention to these things. What I'm saying is, they will say, you need to care about this, and you'll end up putting so much time into caring about those things that the things of God just get put on the back burner. And then after 3-4 weeks of caring about this other stuff, you realize, when's the last time I picked up my Bible and read that? When's the last time I did something at church When's the last time I went to a revival meeting or something like that at church? And we can get so involved in these other things that the world says we have to care about these things. And not all of those things are bad, but we can focus so much on those things that we lose sight of what God says is important. Things like the riches of this life. The world thinks it's odd when they say something's valuable and you don't think it's valuable. They say what we say is valuable, that's what you ought to think is valuable. I heard a joke one time. I don't know if it's more of a joke or just a kind of a funny thought, but a guy went to heaven and he says, he was a rich guy, and he says, I'm going to smuggle in a piece of gold. And so he stuck a bar of gold in his clothing, and he says, I'm going to sneak this into heaven. And so the security force at heaven, they were checking everybody, and they found this bar of gold on the guy. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, I was just trying to bring some of my gold into heaven. And they looked at him funny and says, why are you bringing pavement into heaven? What a dumb thing to smuggle into heaven. Because in heaven it says there's a whole street made of gold and we're going to walk on it. Like, the things that we think are so valuable now in heaven, they're going to be like, why did you think that was valuable? And it seems like things only have value on this life if people think they're valuable. Why do people think jewels are so valuable? They're just rocks that we get from the ground. Now, yeah, they're super rare rocks, and they look pretty when you polish them up and cut them right. But the world thinks things are valuable, certain things are valuable, and they say, you have to think these are valuable. You need to do all you can to get these riches, to get the best things. And there's so many things that they make these days. I've developed kind of a fascination for people that are fascinated with things. I don't know why, but I started, I decided I was going to get a new watch one day. And so I was kind of looking at what kind of watch I should get. I wanted an analog one, not a digital one. I guess I'm old-fashioned that way. I wanted one, and not a smart watch. I never had a desire to get a smart watch. I don't know why I want my watch to be smart, but I wanted an analog watch, and so I was looking at these watches. I found all these videos about these people that are super into watches, and they knew all the specs and the what makes a watch good and what makes a watch not good, and I started to get fascinated. Like, why are these people so fascinated with watches? I have to know this. And then in that process, I saw some videos on fountain pens, and I thought, oh, that might be cool to have a fountain. I never had a fountain pen before. And so I started looking into fountain pens. And there's this whole community of people that are super into fountain pens. And then I started to get more fascinated with that. Why are these people paying hundreds of dollars for a pen? I don't get this. it's just because, if you want the top thing, the best thing, you pick anything, and there's something that somebody is working on to make it the best, the top quality, and then they're going to convince you that you need this. You need to have this. And so some people are working their whole lives to afford these things that everybody else says is valuable, and all the while they're missing out on the most important things that God's Word is trying to point out to us, and we're just missing it because we're so focused on getting what everybody else says is important. Also, the pleasures of this life. This world is going to tell you, you need to go out and find your own happiness. You need to find out what makes you happy. And I started noticing a couple years ago, when you're watching advertisements or reading advertisements, how much the word comfort comes up in those advertisements. Like, I'll be looking at like a new computer bag or something like that, and they'll point out it has a comfort strap here. Like, why am I caring about comfort when I'm buying a computer bag? they try to point out in just about every advertisement, this is going to make your life more comfortable, easier. There's so much emphasis these days on self-love and self-care, and you got to take care of yourself. And why? Because they say you need to be focused on the pleasures of this life. Now, I think that God created things in this life to be pleasurable. I know he did. I know he created certain things to be pleasurable, but he doesn't want that to be our top priority, to get pleasure. Those pleasurable things ought to draw us closer in a relationship with him. But so many people are focused on the cares of this life and the riches of this life and the pleasures of this life. And I think more often than not, these are the things that keep the Word of God being effective in our life. Those of us who are saved, who do read the Bible regularly, that do go to church regularly, we sometimes feel like I'm doing all the stuff, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I don't see anything happening. Well, maybe it's because I'm giving too much attention to what the world says I ought to do, what the world says I ought to care about, what the world says is valuable, and the philosophies of the world. I was listening to a podcast just a couple days ago about these people had written a book about marriage, and we're talking about marriage, and they counsel a lot of people on their marriages. And they kind of pointed this out, that really all we do is just tell people what the Bible says about what a husband is supposed to be and a wife is supposed to be. We just kind of point that out to them and say, just do this, and they do that, and it works. It's kind of amazing that God's word can do what it's supposed to do, but you got to give attention to it. You can't let yourself be distracted from it. So Jesus, I'm so glad that Jesus tells us these things, that he's speaking to a group of people, Jewish people, that knew a lot of the word of God. They knew the laws of God. They knew what they should do, what they shouldn't do. They were told this all the time. But it still wasn't doing anything in their life. And Jesus is trying to help them out and say, these are reasons why. These are reasons why it's not working like it's supposed to work, because of these obstacles. But I'm so glad that he not only gives us the reasons why it's not working, he gives us the remedy to make it work. He does that in verse 15. He says, but thou on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So if you want the word of God to have an effect on your life and bring forth the fruit that it's intended to, these are the things we need to keep in mind. First of all, he says, in an honest and good heart. I looked up the word that's translated honest there. It's the word kolos. And this is one interpretation of that word. It means beautiful by reason of purity of heart and life, and hence praiseworthy. So somebody that just has a heart that's pure, that's honest, that really, we could say it this way, they just honestly want to know what God wants to tell them. They honestly want to learn from God. They come to God saying, okay, God, I'm just going to get rid of everything that the world says is important. I'm going to get rid of everything that I think is important. You tell me what's important. You tell me the way I ought to think. And the word good there, it's another word, but it kind of has the same meaning as the word honest there. It can mean excellent, honorable, useful. Both words can mean these kind of things. So if you come with a heart that's open and ready to learn from God, that's one of the most important things. A lot of us come to God saying, okay, God, I'll believe you. I'll believe whatever you say, but I'm not going to do this. Don't ask me to do this. And don't ask me to give up this thing either, because I don't want to give up that thing. But now tell me what you want to tell me. It doesn't work that way. You have to be ready to say, I'm ready to believe whatever you say. I'm ready to learn from you. Tell me what to do. We got to start with that heart. And then he says, having heard the word, so this means we consider what has been said, we understand it, we learn from it. So he says, they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. So these are people that don't just hear it, don't just listen and then walk away. These are people that actually are learning from it and say, God, teach me. Teach me what to do. Teach me what to think. And so they learn from it. And then it says they keep it. That means they retain it. They keep firm possession of it. They don't let it go. God told the children of Israel this when he gave them the commandments. He says, I want you to write them everywhere. Write them on the posts of your doors. Write them on the back of your hand. Write them on your forehead. Write them everywhere you have to write them to remember them, to do them, because these are going to bring you life. These are going to bring you good things in your life. They're going to bring you the blessings of God. Write it everywhere. And so these are people that when they hear the word of God, they do what they can to remember that and say, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to remember that thought. I'm going to take it with me. I might even put a reminder in my phone. Tell me this tomorrow. these are people that really not only want to learn from God, but they want to remember it. And they want to add it to their life. And they want to do it. And they don't just do it, but the last thing he says there, and they bring forth fruit with patience. Sometimes it's going to take patience to bring forth that fruit. Those of you that may have tried, I tried reading my Bible for a whole week, and I didn't see anything happen. You got to keep doing it. You can't just do it for a little while and see if it's going to work. And if it doesn't work, well, I'll try something else then. You got to put faith into the fact that God's word is powerful. It can do great things in your life. And so I'm going to start doing it. And if I don't see results in a week or 2 weeks or even a month, I'm just going to keep at it and I'm going to keep doing it until it brings forth fruit. And Jesus is promising here, if you're doing that, it's going to bring forth fruit. It's going to have an effect in your life. It's guaranteed to happen. You just got to have the patience to keep going and keep doing it and trust that it's going to work. I've seen so many people changed by the word of God, not just because they tried it out for a little bit and God just changed them completely. These are people that trusted in what the word of God said. Amen. They did it. They kept doing it. And then they start seeing, wow, this really works. I didn't think my family was ever going to get back together again, but my family's back together now. I didn't think I would ever be able to get rid of this sin in my life, but now it's gone. I don't even think about it anymore. These are the people that bring forth fruit in their life. And I just read this morning. I wanted to include this thought. I'm almost done this morning, but I read this in the book of Philemon. It's a small little book, just one chapter. But Paul says to Philemon, this man he's writing a letter to, he says, I'm praying for you, and this is what I'm praying for you. He says, making mention of thee always in my prayers, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So in other words, he says to Philemon, I'm praying for you that the way you live out your faith in your life, it would be showing evidence of Jesus Christ. It would be showing, like, people ought to be looking at your life and say, how are you that good? How can you love people that much? I don't get it. I don't understand. That's not even possible. So Paul is saying, Philemon, I'm praying that your faith in God would transform you so much so that you are impossibly good. Like you can't possibly be that good. And so when people come and ask you, how are you that good? You can say, I'm not. Jesus is that good, and he's doing it in me. that's the kind of fruit that ought to be displayed in your life. And not only will it be producing Christ in you, but it will be producing new believers. For one thing, Jesus Christ's whole ministry here on earth was to seek and save that which was lost. So if I'm like Jesus, that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be seeking and saving those who are lost. Not only that, if I'm impossibly good and people are noticing that, they're going to be asking me, what's wrong with you? How can you be this way? And then you can explain to them, like I said, I'm not that good. Jesus did that in me. And he can do it in you too. And that's a way that you can spread the gospel to people. So while you're sharing the gospel, you need to be letting Christ work on you. You need to be letting God's word teach you how to be like Jesus so that you don't just tell them about Jesus, you show them who Jesus is. Now, real quick, there's two ways that we can apply this. One, you can apply it to your own life. Because we need to understand, if the word of God is not effective in my life, there's a reason why. Not only is there a reason, but Jesus says there's a remedy to counteract that. So the reason is that Satan is attempting to distract you from God's word. Then discipline yourself. Discipline yourself to read God's word daily and to pay attention every time it's preached or taught. Understand that God's trying to teach me something every time the word of God is opened, and just come with that good and honest heart and say, God, I want to learn from you. I don't want to tell you anything. I want you to tell me what's important. And if you fail, if you miss a day of reading the Bible, or you miss a whole week and you realize, man, I haven't read the Bible in 7 days, don't be discouraged.
Yeah, come on.
Pick it up again.
That's right.
Keep doing it. Don't be discouraged by failure. Keep
Amen.
Going.
Amen.
Maybe you don't have enough roots. Well, you can't just try things out for a while. You can't just try Christianity. You can't just try God and see if it'll work. You got to fully commit to it. Just fully commit to what the Bible is saying to do. Commit to be more involved in church. You can ask your pastor, Pastor, is there anything I can do to help serve at church? The more committed you are to God's word, the more committed you are to fellowship with the believers, service with the believers, you're going to get roots in that it's going to be harder to pull out. You're not going to get so easily sidetracked. But maybe there's just too many weeds in your life. Maybe there's too many thorns. In that case, you just need to ignore what the world tells you to care about. They're going to lie to you. They're going to say that you should care about all these things that you really don't need to care about. Let God teach you what to care about.
Mm-hmm.
Let God teach you what's more important.
Yeah.
Stop trying to please yourself and God. That's another problem. We think that we can have the best of both worlds. I can please myself and I can please God. Jesus said this way, no man can serve two masters. It's impossible. If you please yourself and try to please God, you'll probably end up doing neither. You're definitely not going to please God, and you probably won't be happy either. So just fully commit. Stop trying to please both. It won't work. Just please God. Just listen to what God says. Do it. Keep doing it. And stay faithful to him. Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning. I don't know where you're at right now in your spiritual walk with God. I know everybody's at different levels, but if the Word of God really hasn't seemed that effective to you lately, if it's not changing you, if you've read it and you're just don't seem to be getting anything out of it, you sit under the preaching, it doesn't seem to be helping, consider what Jesus is saying here. There's a reason why. There's a reason why it's not being effective in your life. And maybe it's none of these reasons. These are probably, I suspect Jesus is just talking about these three because these are the most common. Maybe it's another reason. Whatever the reason, God knows it. and he can reveal it to you, and he can help you get to a point where it will have an effect. It will bring forth fruit. If you're serious about this, ask him this morning, God, what's keeping your word from being effective in my life? Well, let's have the piano play an invitation. We're going to have a time here where you can do business with God. If there's something that you know is keeping you from God's word, confess that to God today. Ask him to help you with it. Maybe it's that you just don't know. God, I know there's something wrong. I know I've been reading your word, I've been in your word, but I just don't feel like it's having an effect. Ask God to reveal that to you today. What's keeping me from experiencing the fruit in my life? So would you stand? We'll give you an opportunity to come forward today and talk to God about these things. But let's go ahead and just have the piano play, and you come.